Hello, welcome to the Willis Experience Podcast, Footer and Leech NLCS Preview Edition. It is, in fact, we are through the looking glass. We are in apocalyptic crazy land. Either the New York Mets or the Chicago Cubs is going to be in the 2050 World Series, which is nuts. I'm here with Allison. Allison, did you get the chance? I know you've been running around like crazy. Did you get a chance to watch any of the Mets Dodgers Game 5?
Yes, actually, we had dinner as a little staff outing at a very good, you'll be shocked to know, barbecue place.
No, really? Sports writers and barbecue. I'm in Kansas.
I know.
I don't believe it.
This was a little bit like more like high scale, though. It was delicious. Yeah. But so they had like three TVs and they all had the game on, and that just makes me so happy, because the one gripe I have about Houston is like you could go into a bar literally like two blocks from Minute Maid Park and there'll be like an important game going on and it'll be like ESPN2, hockey or something. It just makes me insane. So it warms my heart when I go to these other cities and everywhere you walk in, the baseball game is on, regardless if it's the baseball game of the actual team that plays in that city. It's wonderful.
Yeah, Kansas City is an awesome baseball town. It really is.
Yes.
And of course, last night was a very busy sports night outside of just baseball. Of course, there was SEC football and there was the NFL. So good for Kansas City. We're very, very proud of you, Kansas City. Good work. So what did you think of the game? I can't imagine how scary that was. It's funny, Dodgers fans almost seemed like resigned to their fate when they fell behind, but Mets fans, from at least what I could tell, and they tend to be somewhat histrionic anyway, they certainly seemed pretty terrified throughout. But it was kind of amazing. They excuse me, to put in the closer to get you six outs and have him get all six in a row, that's pretty gutsy managing.
Yeah, it is, especially since they're on the road, and you never feel comfortable, but you do sort of feel like the Dodgers are, it's like they're waiting to see what's going to happen with Don Mattingly when he inevitably gets fired, and it's only like the fifth inning. Everyone's like, okay, what are they going to do when they absolutely lose this game? That is a tough place. I mean, I guess you could say that about every ballpark, but Dodger Stadium's really hard to win when you're the opposing team. And that was fantastic. I was just so happy for him. I mean, I have no stake in any of this. And I love the Cubs story and I love the Mets story. What I love is that we're going to see a different team in the World Series than we've ever seen. And I think that's fantastic. I think it's so great for the game, regardless of how big or small the markets are. And I just can't even imagine. I mean, the Toronto and Kansas City, it's like, you know, whatever. But either the Cubs or Mets in the World Series is just amazing. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and I also have no rooting interest in this series except for the fact that I really, really want the Mets to do it, because I don't want the Cubs to do it, because I can't.
Right.
I mean, no offense to Cubs fans on that, but I am, you know, I'm a Cardinals fan, for crying out loud.
Right.
As I've joked before, my favorite team is the Cardinals and my second favorite team is the Cubs not winning the World Series. So go Mets. So let's look forward to that series. What I find kind of interesting about this series is it does, you know, so much of baseball is youth, particularly this year. We've talked about it the last couple of years, how many great young players have kind of come into the game and how that's really been this infusion of new energy and almost new culture in a lot of ways in baseball. To me, this series really embodies that, in that the Cubs have all these great young hitters. They have all these rookie or near rookie hitters who can hit the ball on top of the scoreboard and are sending balls against my Cardinals all through the Wrigley Field night. And the Mets have these pitchers that all throw 100 miles an hour and all absolutely terrify you. The idea that last night when you were watching that game, that DeGrom gets out and they bring in Syndergaard and he throws harder than anybody. He's like throwing I saw at bat clocked him at having a 100 mile an hour sinker, which is really not very nice if you're able to actually throw that pitch. So to me, that is a really exciting thing to see. You know, the Cubs are a team that feasts on fastballs, but the Mets are a team that throws fastballs really, really fast, and they're all like under 25. To me, that, regardless of the history of the Mets and the Cubs, that is just a regular ball player to ball player is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, no, and there was a big deal made about the All-Star game, just like all of the star players that are 25 and under. And I think that, you know, we are far enough into the, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, the post-drug era, where it is definitely a young man's game again. I think that the Mets probably have a little bit of an advantage because of how hard their pitchers do throw. And I just think that they could probably keep, like, the young Cubs hitters off balance a little bit, just in the setting that they're about to enter. They've never, you know, experienced anything like this before. So I do have to give it a little bit to the Mets. But then when I look at the Cubs lineup, I'm like, they're just having themselves a good old time, aren't they? And it's kind of been like that the whole time. And of course, they have that calming factor with Joe Maddon, who I think that he can go into the clubhouse every day and convince them that this really isn't that big of a deal, just to keep doing what they're doing. I definitely like their lineup over the Mets lineup, even though I like the Mets lineup. Of course, you're not going to have a bad anything when these teams get this far. But I definitely, you know, I just think that the Mets pitching is going to dominate this series.
Yeah, it's funny when you look at, you know, because, of course, one of the reasons I picked the Dodgers to go to the World Series, oops, was because I trusted the team that not only had Greinke and not only had Kershaw, but also had a pretty solid lineup. Like, the Dodgers lineup was not a bad lineup. And you agree, you care more about the clubhouse stuff than I do, and I was clearly proven wrong in that situation, because clearly that, I think you're right, that team looked like they were ready to find out who their new manager was by the fourth or fifth inning. You're exactly right. So, but when I looked, so I thought the Dodgers would be a better matchup. But to me, when you look at the Mets, you know, forget the idea they don't have those top two guys. They've got three top guys, four if you want to count Mats. Like, I'll take Mats as my fourth starter in a playoff series anytime, for crying out loud. And so if you look at the matchups, look at the pitching matchups, and, you know, you have to be wary about spending too much time looking at pitching matchups, because most of the series we've seen, like, if you say, well, the Mets are going to have to beat Greinke and Kershaw when they pitched twice in a five-game series, and then they did it. So, you know, you can't do too much with matchups. But if you look at the pitching matchup in this series, the Mets are going to have, I think, a clear advantage in five of the seven games. And the two games that they don't have are the games that Syndergaard's pitching. He's just pitching against Arrieta. To me, that is that the issue with the Mets is not only they have good pitchers, but they have so many good frontline starting pitchers that, you know, if they are on in a way that they frankly kind of were in the Dodgers series, I don't care how good the Cubs hitters are, when those guys are throwing smoke like that, nobody's hitting them.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, pitching and defense is always dominates the postseason anyway. But when you look at the Cubs rotation, and it's like, you know, toward the end of the regular season, they still weren't sure who they were slotting in to be their third starter. And it was kind of like this, like, sort of tryout to, like, show, you know, Maddon, like, oh, you know, Hendricks, Hamill. And so, you know, I don't know. I just feel like when I look at, like, you know, Matt Harvey, Syndergaard, DeGrom, Matt's, how can you? I mean, that's a World Series rotation. That's absolutely a World Series rotation, which is why they're going to the World Series. They're absolutely, oh my God, this is going to be the coolest thing ever. The Mets are going to go to the World Series, and I'm going to relive 1986 like over and over and over again, and it's going to make me so happy.
Neither one of us can relive 1945, so we can't speak that for the Cubs. But, you know, I have to say, though, you know, you talk to Cubs fans, I saw Matthew Trueblood, who writes for Baseball Prospectus and occasionally writes for Sports on Earth. He picked Cubs in four. And it's amazing to me. One of the things one of the things I find really fun with the Cubs-Mets thing is the way, you know, because we look at these franchises, we see them as somewhat similar in that, like, they've both been kind of kicked around, they both had a hard time, but now they have all this young talent and they're kind of moving forward, and good for them. But the way the fans are reacting to it are so much different. The Mets are, even after the win over the Dodgers, still seem to be cheering for their team from a defensive crouch. They still kind of like they don't want the nun to hit them in the hand with the ruler. Like, they're still a little afraid to go on. Meanwhile, I talk to Cubs fans and they're just like, okay, so how much are we going to pay for World Series tickets for games 3 to 5? It's really kind of funny. And I wonder if that is because, you know, I feel like it's been so long since the Cubs, like, 2008, 2009, they did make the playoffs those years. But, you know, 2003 is really the last time that I think people thought, oh, the Cubs are winning the World Series. The Cubs really have this kind of dominant thing. So a lot of people, you know, I think the Cubs have not had any success in, like, a long time, whereas the Mets have had success and also had it ripped away from them in a brutal fashion more recently, it seems, than the Cubs. Because I can't figure out exactly a way to explain unless they just know something the rest of us don't, just how confident Cubs fans seem to be in a team that, while certainly good and certainly better than the Cardinals in the last series, did finish in third place in their division this year.
Yes, but I mean, that's, you have to keep that in perspective.
I know.
Yeah, but I think it's because the Cubs weren't, I think it's kind of like, reminds me of the Astros, like the Cubs weren't even supposed to be here anyway. Like, this was supposed to be that transition year into next year when they were going to be really good. So I think the Cubs fans, I don't know that so much of, I feel like they don't really know how to react in a situation like this, because it's been so long since they've been to the postseason, and they've kind of just had to accept that. So now it's just, this is really fun and really cool. Whereas the Mets, yeah, I mean, I think that they do sit there sort of more with their hands covering their eyes, like, I'm afraid to be happy right now. Like, I'm afraid as soon as I get happy about this and as soon as I start believing, like, someone's going to come and just crush me. Which is kind of funny, because I guess you could say that about Cubs fans too. So
You would think, but there, I think you're right, though. I think there is something to that, because Cubs fans do not seem doom and gloom to me at all in the way that the Mets fans are. And I wonder if that's just part of the personality, or I wonder if that's, you know, maybe, I don't know, I have my own theories, but I'm not going to say them because I'm a Cardinals fan. Everyone will yell at me for them. But I will say that that is part of the Mets fan character, to be kind of doom and gloom about everything.
Yeah.
So I suppose that makes some sense. But, you know, I also wonder, too, and I have a story in the upcoming issue of New York Magazine. If you are in the New York area, or I guess if you're in an airport anywhere, pick up the next copy of New York Magazine. I wrote generally about how this year, the difference between these two teams is that the Cubs are coming back next year. Everybody knows the Cubs are coming back next year. The Cubs are going to be good for like a long time. And I'm not happy to say that, but it's undeniably true. Everyone kind of, even when, the thing that the Cardinals all said to them, Cardinals fans said to themselves after the Cubs beat them was, we'll get them next year because we'll surely get a chance to play them in the playoffs next year. So that speaks to how good everybody kind of understands the Cubs are going to be. The Mets feel like everything kind of fell their way this year. The Nationals collapsed in a way that kind of imploded. The Mets were able to get payroll they probably would not have been able to otherwise because of David Wright's injury insurance giving them money, and Mejia's PED gave them like $3 million that they wouldn't have otherwise. They are able to spend money. They every year, everything is pulled out perfectly for this year, which means next year the Mets have the same questions we've had about the Mets. Do they have payroll? How committed are they to winning? We're going to have the same questions about them next year that we've had the last few years, whereas the Cubs are going to be really good for a while. So to me, that puts more pressure on the Mets fans, and I really can only talk about it from a fan's perspective, because players are just like, whatever, I'm a millionaire, I'll play somewhere. But Mets fans, for them to win, because it feels like this might be the best chance they have for a while.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at the Nationals as they, you know, that was just a rare thing that they had to go through. And that's a very, very good team that just absolutely fell apart for all the reasons that we've talked about. So you can't count them out, and they should be, with a new manager and, you know, new resolve and largely the same cast of characters. I mean, they're going to be a very good team. So, yeah, they do sort of feel like they were able to sneak in there. They made that great deal for Cespedes. You know, who knows what's going to happen with him. Whereas, yeah, the Cubs are like, these are our players. We can hold them close because they're our little Cubbies. We raise these boys, and they're not going anywhere for the most part. So the window is not closing on the Cubs. The window has just started to open, where the Mets, you're like, you know, how long can this continue on a year-to-year-to-year basis with all the extra baggage and some of the things from, you know, ownership, and just, you know, they tend to step on themselves a little bit, and it's hard to maintain, you know, decades-long dominance when you have that other stuff that's going on. The Cubs are just, you know, they've got this great management, they've got great leadership, they've had these owners that want to win, they want to spend money. It's a good time to be a Cubs fan.
It is, for once. It is a good time to be a Cubs fan. So, to me, you know, getting back to like the lineups a little bit, we'll kind of close with looking at that. You know, I think the Mets bullpen is a little better. The Cubs have a lot of guys that have been effective, but I still have a hard time, you know, really thinking that some of these guys are at the high quality level that you would expect to see in the postseason, even down to the closer. But the Mets lineup is something to be worried about. David Wright had a difficult NLDS. Kirsch Granderson hit well. Daniel Murphy hit well. Cespedes did. Other than that, homer really wasn't that great. Michael Conforto didn't hit well. Travis d'Arnaud didn't hit well. The thing that worries me if I were someone rooting for the Mets, I'm just an impartial journalist, of course. But if I, the thing that would worry me if I were a Mets fan is the idea that what we saw from the series, we can say all we want about Mets having the superior pitchers, but the Cubs have dudes that can hit the ball a really long way if they run into them, and the Mets have one guy that can do that. So for me, I feel like I need to see the Mets lineup step up a little bit in a way that we've not, like, their lineup is obviously better than it was in the first half of the year when everyone was losing their minds about how bad it was when they had this great pitching staff. But this is still, the lineup doesn't strike, I don't even think it's as good as the Dodgers lineup, to be honest with you. And that is the thing that worries me about this. The Cubs pitchers aren't great, but they don't have to be as great when they're facing a lineup like the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, you know how I am about this. I just feel like it's going to come down to the pitching. So, yeah, I mean, even if the lineup struggles a little bit, but they don't have to get through Greinke and Kershaw. I mean, they just have to, they have to be able to maintain some sort of level where they can win some baseball games, just score a few runs for, you know, a rotation to be able to hold this thing down. So I don't think that, guys scuffling a little bit is that big of a deal in this series as much as maybe the other ones. But, what do I know? I'm just all about pitching a defense. We watched the Royals last year, what they did. I mean, they swept the entire postseason until the World Series without any scary hitters. Because they pitch so fantastically, and they just caught every single thing that was hit, and so that, to me, that's just the only thing that matters in the postseason, really.
All right, well then let's put you on record. You applied this earlier, but what is your official prediction for this series?
Mets in six.
All right, am going Mets in seven. I like the Mets in seven. I actually almost went six. I actually like that prediction a lot, but I felt like it just feels like there's going to be one game where the Cubs are going to – it just feels like there is so much – this is the Cubs-Mets playing – I feel like I need to see a game seven for a Cubs.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah. Lester and Arrieta, I mean, let's not, just – push them aside. This is going to be a great series. I don't think the Mets are just going to come in and just have their way with them every single game. But I think it's going six or seven, and I think the Mets are going to win. So I'm going to say Mets in six.
All right, I'm going Mets in seven. So I was 1-for-4 in the first round. So obviously everybody pay attention because I'm really smart. So, but that's okay. Listen to me now or believe me later. So, all right, well, Allison, have a great time. You will be at game one tonight. And throughout all the ALCS, correct?
Yes. So we were actually predicting last night at dinner that this series is going to be the 2004 Astros Cardinals, and that it's going to be an amazing series that nobody's going to be watching.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right. That sounds exactly right. At least it's not on it's funny because now when we say that series was on FX, everyone's like, oh, we know what FX is. They have Louie. They have Justified. But in 2004, FX was this weird channel that most bars didn't have.
Of course.
It was terrible. That was terrible. Yeah. Once again, I tell those young kids all the time this, those cranky kids that are running around messing with my newspapers. I tell them this all the time that they do not understand how great they have it when it comes to access to watching baseball games. It used to be so hard.
Yeah, look at what they do now. You can get them. There's no blackout. I mean, you can get them on your phone. So you can watch the actual games. I was at a restaurant with some colleagues in Houston during the division series, and I was watching the other game that was going on while I was waiting for everybody. Yeah. So it's all good.
Yeah, unless you're in Iowa. Unless you're in Iowa, but let's not get into that. Allison, have a great time tonight. Have a wonderful time. Enjoy the games, and we'll be back. I don't know if we'll do a podcast before our World Series preview, but I will see you at the World Series this year. Which will be really, really fun, and we will not do it in a crowded room with a lot of noise like we did last time, I promise.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
All right, well, have a great time. Enjoy the games. We're both picking the Mets. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Enjoy it all. Allison, have a great time tonight. I'm envious that you're there.
Thank you, Will.
Okay, follow Allison Footer on Twitter, AlysonFooter. The music, as always, is by the Sundogs. I didn't say that last week. Also, the Sundogs have a new EP out that you should buy. So go to iTunes and buy their EP. But this is the Willis Experience Podcast. The music is by the Sundogs. Rate and review us on iTunes. We will be back probably to preview the World Series. Allison's going to be the game. I'm going to be pretending game one of the NLCS is not going on because I need some more time to heal. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. We'll talk soon.